Support for this podcast is provided by That Cast Creative. Brand your business and connect with your audience by creating a custom podcast. Learn more at thatcast.com.
Want to advertise on this podcast or one like it and reach a targeted and engaged audience? Go to thatcast.com to start reaching our audience.
It's time for Oregon fans to get over Chip Kelly. You want to know why? Because the moment his private plane went wheels up on the way to Philadelphia back in, 2013, Chip Kelly didn't think of you guys at all. He was over it the day he went wheels up.
That Cast Network presents The No Huddle, an in-depth and fun trip through the 2018 Oregon football season with host Justin Myers.
Welcome into this week's No Huddle podcast. I am your host, Justin Myers. Lots and lots of stuff to get to here on the show. Oregon with the victory this last weekend, but I don't know about you guys. I mean, the theme of this, at least this first segment, is going to be just kind of how weird that game on Saturday at Autzen Stadium felt. Because there's all the stats, there's the score, there's everything on paper, right? And if you didn't watch Oregon play on Saturday for whatever reason, let's say you had one of those very selfish friends that scheduled a fall wedding and your wife made you go and your phone then died and you couldn't follow the game on social media and you couldn't find a TV and the only frame of reference you had after the game was the stat sheet. You'd look at it and say, man, 42-21, Oregon rushed for 200 yards, one penalty in the entire game, which, by the way, we'll get to that one penalty in the game, but one penalty in the entire game against a Chip Kelly coached offense, boy, that's a blowout. I mean, Oregon's favored by 10 in this game. They win it by 3 touchdowns, pulled ahead late, seem to have got the offense going, especially the running game, because that's where everybody has been freaking out, right? That Oregon can't run the ball. They can't get things going at the line of scrimmage. Oregon rushes for over 200 yards, and you beat Chip Kelly at Autzen Stadium by 3 touchdowns, get yourself bowl eligible, and now you've got 3 winnable games ahead of you to possibly get to a significant bowl game for this team in year one of Mario Cristobal, right? All of that stuff on paper is there. Yet, if you were at the game like I was, or if you are just, you know, constantly engaging with Oregon fans like I am on social media, and again, I always throw this out, Twitter, I understand, is not real life. But there is just something about this program that has lost its juice. It's lost its buzz. And I'm kind of wondering what the heck happened. Yes, Oregon went through a tough stretch. And this, I mentioned it last week, and I'm going to stand by this. This team is good. It's not special. This is a good football team. Like I said, they're going to a bowl game. They're likely going to surpass the win totals from a year ago. A year ago when everybody was optimistic. I don't know if Justin Herbert is coming back or not, but you got to feel way better about it now than maybe you did after the Washington win, because it looked like it was a certainty that Justin Herbert was heading to the NFL. But there's something that happened between Oregon beating Washington, losing to Washington State, getting embarrassed by Arizona, that just popped the balloon on this Oregon football season. And I found it really interesting that it didn't seem like a lot of people were getting fired up for a 42-21 victory. I mean, Autzen Stadium just felt kind of dead. I've been at every home game this season. And the Stanford game, even though it went down the way it went down, Autzen Stadium had some juice. The Washington game, it was an unbelievable environment. It was one of the best football games, one of the best football environments that I've been to at Autzen. Perfect day, great crowd, good energy. Both teams played extremely well. And then Chip Kelly comes back and UCLA is having a struggling year. Oregon's coming off of back-to-back losses. And the once dreams of possibly winning the Pac-12, going to the Rose Bowl, and being an outside shot at the college football playoff were dashed in the last 2 losses. So again, is this what Oregon football has become? Has it become a program that if you are not playing for a conference title, that, I'm not saying the fans won't show up because the stadium was full, but they're just going to sit on their hands and not get fired up? Or is part of it what we're seeing on the field? Because while Oregon put up 42 points, if you're being realistic, UCLA gifted them 21. They did. UCLA gifted Oregon three touchdowns. One with a, I would say they gave them 14 points. You could maybe put in the punt return for a touchdown because UCLA special teams melted down. But Oregon returned a punt for a touchdown. Oregon got the ball on the 5-yard line after a muffed punt by UCLA for an easy touchdown. And then, of course, UCLA fumble, Oregon defense scoops and scores. And there's 21 points right there that UCLA gave Oregon. On top of that, Oregon scored another touchdown on a fake field goal that extended a drive. And at the end of the half, UCLA's special teams melted down again by getting a 5-yard penalty, pushing what was already a long field goal back 5 yards and making it just unmakeable. The Oregon offense in a 42-point win was not dominant. I think that's where some of the buzz around this program has gone. The fact that you've got Justin Herbert, who is maybe the most talented guy to ever play quarterback at Oregon, and that's coming from a physical standpoint, right? I'm not going to sit here and compare Justin Herbert's career to Marcus Mariota's because, I mean, that would just be plain silly. I'm not going to compare it to Joey Harrington's career. He just doesn't have the wins. He doesn't have the accomplishments. Justin Herbert has shown a lot of things, but the one thing that I think we're missing from him is he doesn't seem to have, this year, the ability to take over a game and put this team on his back. It's just not there. In games where Oregon's running game is struggling, Washington State, Arizona, he didn't have the ability to then go and win the game with his arm. Now, if that's the offensive play calling, if that's Mario Cristobal maybe putting some handcuffs on him, or maybe that's just Herbert's flaw. Look, he's not a perfect quarterback as much as I have touted him up to be. But when you look at Oregon as a whole in this game, and the win against UCLA, there's a lot of positives from it. There's a lot of positives that you can put on this season. But I think the reason some Oregon fans are just a little bit nervous to go all in with this coaching staff is the way that this offense has performed. Something is very different from the first half and a good chunk of the game against Stanford, from the game against Washington to Washington State, Arizona, and even this performance last weekend against UCLA. Oregon got outgained by UCLA. UCLA got more first downs. The difference was the three turnovers and the gifted points, because Oregon was very, very close to being in a ball game at Autzen Stadium with a 2-win UCLA team. So as I mentioned, it just, there's something off about this team right now, but there is good news. Here's the good news about Oregon football going forward. Three games. You're a 3-point underdog at Utah. Utah, a week ago, looked to be one of, if not the best team in the Pac-12. As a matter of fact, I had them ranked second in my Pac-12 power rankings. Well, they take a loss to Arizona State. They lose their quarterback with a broken collarbone. And now they've got the Ducks coming to town, and they're going to be without their most important player. Now, the reason they're 3-point favorites is because they're the best run defense in the conference, and Oregon struggled to put up a ton of yards against one of the worst run defenses in UCLA. So the defense is of Utah is legit. It is tough. And for Oregon to go on the road and get a win, they're going to have to find a way to get the running game going. But it's a 3-point Vegas point spread. Oregon's right there in this ballgame with Utah. Arizona State is playing better, but you get Arizona State at home. That's a winnable game. And then Civil War against Oregon State. At 6-3 right now with 3 winnable games, 9 wins is not that far away. Then you'll get a bowl game. 10 wins is still realistic this season. It's still realistic. So let's think about this, right? Let's think about what happens over the next 3 weeks. Let's say you go 2-3. You lose the game to Utah. You beat Arizona State and you win Civil War. You end the season at 8-4. 1 win over last year's total, which was a rebound year. So you've already upped your win total from a year ago with a new head coach. This year, you're going to have a win over Washington, a win over Oregon State, likely. And if that doesn't happen, look, if Oregon doesn't win Civil War, then we're coming back here with a much, much different podcast. But you'll likely have a win over Oregon State. You'll have a win over Chip Kelly, who all you Oregon fans can't get enough of. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So 2 wins over your rivals, a win over your former coach, up your win total from a year ago, get to a bowl game. That's a pretty good first season for Mario Cristobal. Considering, look at the rest of the first-year head coaches in this conference. None of them are bowl eligible yet. Mario Cristobal is the only first-year head coach in the Pac-12 that is actually bowl eligible. We know what's going on with Jonathan Smith and Corvallis, and of course, everybody is familiar with Chip Kelly and his struggles at UCLA. Kevin Sumlin still 5-5 at Arizona. And then you've got Herm Edwards, who is 5-4 right now and hasn't gotten over the hump yet. He's gotten a couple of nice wins and is right there in position. By the way, the Pac-12 South is a complete mess, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a bit in the Pac-12 power rankings. But when you look at there's five first-year head coaches in the Pac-12. Mario Cristobal is the only one to get to bowl eligibility so far this season. Now, I realize it would be nice if Oregon was in contention for the Pac-12 North. That Stanford game, again, is going to continue to come back and haunt Oregon because depending on what happens in the Apple Cup, that Stanford loss really, really stings. Because Oregon could still have an outside shot at the Pac-12 North. But that's neither here nor there. But when you look at where Oregon is right now as a program, rebuilding from the disasters of 2016, and then your head coach comes in for a year and then bails before the bowl game, and now you've had three head coaches in 3 years, and you're sitting at bowl eligibility with a chance to win 9, possibly 10 games this season. 2 wins over your biggest rivals. I don't understand how Oregon fans aren't so giddy about the possible future of this program because the offensive play calling is just a little bit below par. Trust me, there are going to be changes. There are going to be shakeups. I'm not saying, and I mentioned it last week about how Oregon fans are kind of falling into the let's blame the coordinator. I'm not sitting here saying that Mario Cristobal is going to make a change in terms of offensive coordinator or who's going to take over play calling duties. But look, Mario Cristobal got this job a week after the head coach left. Had to figure out how to coach a bowl game, scrambled to keep assistant coaches, where he's in a bidding war with Florida State, finally gets a recruiting class in and is able to kind of settle down and start building the program up. Any other coach in this position would have had massive hiccups. And so far, Oregon has managed to sidestep a couple of landmines and has had one bad game. I mean, let's be honest. Oregon so far this year has had one bad game, and that was the Arizona game, which is unexplainable. Got nothing for you there. Got some bad bounces. And some unfortunate breaks against Stanford. And Washington State, let's just be honest, they're good and they flat out beat them. So you had one bad game, you got beat by a better team and had some bad breaks in the other. Now is when the rubber meets the road, though, in college football. November is when teams and programs are made. So this is going to be a very important three-game stretch for Mario Cristobal. And if he can find a way to beat Utah on the road, which, by the way, is doable. Also, they could go there and get their teeth kicked in. After that Arizona loss and the Washington win, anything is possible with this program at this point. But I think when you look at the overall picture, and I know that it was exciting when Oregon beat Washington and it looked like the Pac-12 North was right there in their grasp and the possibility of getting to a Pac-12 championship game and getting back to the Rose Bowl was realistic. Boom, boom, loss, loss, air out of the balloon. It's time for Oregon fans to buck up a little bit, get back in committed to this team. Because you got 3-game stretch in November. You can get this. Mario Cristobal can get this team to 9 wins in his first year. And by the way, has a top 3 right now and likely will stay in the top 5 recruiting class coming in. It's a lot of good things building for Oregon football. I just thought it was a real interesting environment at Autzen Stadium. All right, coming up next, we have got my Pac-12 power rankings and a little bit later, my thoughts on the return of Chip Kelly to Autzen Stadium. This is the No Huddle Podcast. It is a production of the ThatCast Podcast Network. Rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. And as I mentioned, tell your family, tell your friend. Look, Thanksgiving's right around the corner. It'd be a nice, I think, Thanksgiving dinner discussion about how good the podcast is and how much you enjoy it. And then just find a couple of strangers and tell them what we're doing here. Coming up, we've got the Pac-12 power rankings in just a bit. Go nowhere. This is the No Huddle Podcast. Go nowhere. Like you're listening on your phone right now. I've got you. You're committed. Coming back with the Pac-12 power rankings. This is Justin Myers and the No Huddle Podcast. Price Financial Group Wealth
Management. Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you. Simplify. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.
Find the growing lineup of ThatCast Network podcasts and videocasts at ThatCast.com. Now, back to Justin Myers and the No Huddle.
All right, welcome back into the No Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Myers, and it is now time for the Pac-12 Power Rankings. I know, look, you guys are on the edge of your seat each and every week to find out where I have ranked the teams. It has been, I tell you what, it has been a chore this season. It really has, because, I mean, you look at where some of the teams have started in my Pac-12 Power Rankings to where they are now. There's been a lot of movement. A lot of movement, but unfortunately for Oregon State, not much movement from them. They have been either 11 or 12 the entire season, and they remain that way. Closer ball game than probably USC fans wanted, but in the end, Oregon State still not able to pull out the win at home. Oregon State still remains at the bottom of the Pac-12 power rankings, with just the lone one Pac-12 conference win. Next up at 11 is UCLA, and Chip Kelly has got so much more to build than I think he even thought when he took that job. He doesn't have a quarterback. I think he's got dealing with a lot of injuries, and when you are dealing with injuries and you still can't compete, that means you've got a problem with depth. That means you've got a problem with recruiting. Look, Chip Kelly has never been a pound-the-pavement recruiter. He's always been a let's-find-guys-to-fit-our-system. The problem is his system is everywhere now. When Chip Kelly was at Oregon, his system was unique, and so you could go out and find guys with unique skill sets to fit your system, right? Well, guess what? Everybody's running your system. You look at Oklahoma and Kyler Murray, their quarterback. Kyler Murray, 7 years ago, would have never been the quarterback at Oklahoma. He's not tall enough. He's got a strong arm because he's a top prospect in baseball, but he just isn't that prototypical looking quarterback. Guess what? Oklahoma's in the hunt for the college football playoff. They put one of the most athletic and most talented guys back there at quarterback, and they're crushing it. Chip Kelly is going to have a hard time, I think, finding those specific guys to fit his system, because his system is now everywhere. But he better find some guys fast, or else it is going to be a couple of long seasons for old Chipper down in Los Angeles. Number 10, Colorado. Colorado, probably the most movement of anybody this season in my power rankings. I thought they were the best team in the Pac-12 North. That was fool's gold. I will fully admit I blew that one. I was way wrong. Colorado has been a mess of a team. So Colorado sits at number 10. Number 9 on the list, that's Cal. Cal was so close. I mean, Cal gets the win at home against Washington, the big upset, the most significant win so far for Justin Wilcox in his short tenure as a head coach there in Berkeley, and are right there on the cusp of upsetting Washington State, going back-to-back with huge upsets, and they would have likely jumped so far up ahead in the Pac-12 power rankings. But unfortunately for Cal, couldn't pull the trigger. Gardner Minshew gets the touchdown. Wazoo's defense holds. They escape a trap game in Pullman. More on that in just a bit. And Cal sits at number 9 in my Pac-12 power rankings, because Cal's also got, look, they've got a loss to Oregon. They've got a loss to Arizona. They've got some bad losses on this season in the conference. So Cal sits at number 9. Number 8 on this list, and this was a tough one because I got Arizona at number 8, but Arizona's not such a bad football team right now. Now, that's, I think, a little bit misleading because they're playing okay in the Pac-12. I love the Pac-12. I love covering this conference, but there is not an elite team on the West Coast. It just doesn't exist. Arizona is playing well in a conference that is, I would say, mediocre to good. And I think that's even a bit of a stretch. I mean, if you were to power rank the Power 5, Pac-12 is last. It just is, because it's the only conference that doesn't have a major player. So Arizona, playing good football, I've got them sitting at number 8 in the list. Number 7 is Stanford. Stanford is another team that earlier on in the season, you looked at the Cardinal and figured, okay, they're going to have to replace a quarterback, but faith in David Shaw. He's going to have big guys on the offensive line. He's got big physical receivers. You know they have a specific style. It's a unique system that everybody has to adjust when they play to them, and they got to play bully ball. And, I mean, they got an absolute gift of a win at Autzen Stadium. Since then, they've lost to Notre Dame, got their doors blown out by Utah, lost to Washington State, lost to Washington. I mean, Stanford is staring down, if not for the most favorable bounces maybe in the history of college football this season, Stanford's staring down a 5-loss season, and maybe more, because they still have to play Cal. They still have to go on the road to UCLA, which I like them in that game, but Cal could find a way to pull off that victory. So Stanford continues to tumble down the Pac-12 power rankings. Here we go. This is the top 6. I've got USC at number 6, and boy, that one's close. Super close. I know that Stanford beat USC, but USC still has a win over Washington State. They're the only team that has managed to find a way to beat Washington State, so I've got them just a hair higher than Stanford. But USC lost badly on the road to Utah, lost at home to Arizona State, and could not put away Oregon State with their starting quarterback. Because I know that against Arizona State, they were playing with their backup quarterbacks. But USC and Clay Helton may have to have, you know, like if you've ever been in a relationship and you have to have some tough conversations, like if things don't change, or maybe they already have, USC may be shopping for a head coach next season. Next up, I got Arizona State. Arizona State pulls off the upset against Utah. I mean, look at what ASU has done this year. I mean, they beat Michigan State, which was ranked top 15 at the time. They beat USC on the road. Arizona State has beaten now Utah. That was a home game, but still beat Utah, who was ranked in the top 15 at the time. They're in position for a chance to win the Pac-12 South title. And Herm Edwards, by the way, the Pac-12 South is complete and utter garbage. But Arizona State's still in position. A three-loss team, by the way, a three-loss team is going to, or more, is going to represent the Pac-12 South in the Pac-12 championship game. So I got Arizona State sitting at number 5. Utah takes a tumble. They go from 2 to 4. After the loss to Arizona State, I still think Utah finds a way to win the Pac-12 South, but I'm not entirely sure of the tiebreakers. But again, next week, they've got Oregon coming to town, and I've got Oregon sitting at number 3 in the power rankings. Washington bounces back after their win, or after their loss, excuse me, to Cal by beating Stanford. And Wazoo is by far and away still the best team in this conference, which sets up a pretty fun matchup in the Apple Cup. Washington has a chance to play spoiler. Washington State, I think, still has an outside shot at the college football playoff, but crazy things have to happen. And guess what? It's November. Crazy things happen in college football in November. So here we go. Wazoo. By far and away, the best team in the conference. Then Washington, then Oregon, then Utah. Of course, those two teams play next week, so we'll find out if I got that one right. Then I got Arizona State, USC, Stanford, Arizona, Cal, Colorado, and then UCLA and Oregon State pulling up the rear of this train. All right, there you go. Those are your Pac-12 power rankings. When we come back, wrap up the podcast and some final thoughts on Chip Kelly, UCLA, and the affinity that Oregon fans have for their former head coach and where maybe it should be going forward. This is the No Huddle Podcast, a production of the ThatCast Podcast Network. I'm your host, Justin Myers, back to wrap it up here in just a bit.
Find the growing lineup of ThatCast Network podcasts and videocasts at ThatCast.com. Now, back to Justin Myers and the No Huddle.
A couple of final thoughts as we wrap up this week's edition of the No Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Myers. And of course, Oregon gets the win over the weekend. Significant 42-21 victory over a struggling UCLA team. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Oregon gets to bowl eligibility. And Mario Cristobal continues to have a lot of success in his first year as the head coach. But it all kind of seemed a little bit overshadowed. Overshadowed by a figure that stood on the opposite sideline of Oregon, which was interesting to me because that's the sideline that's in the shadows. And that was Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly made his return to Eugene for the first time since he packed up his bags and left for the NFL. And I think it is now time for Oregon fans to get over Chip Kelly. I get it. It's the most successful run of any Oregon coach, a 4-year run that will likely never be duplicated. Oregon under Chip Kelly was a national power, was in the national championship conversation each and every season. A Heisman Trophy eventually came. I know Chip had left by the time Marcus won it, but it was all set up by Chip Kelly. I get it. The love and the win the day and everything else that Chip Kelly built at Oregon is a tough one to get over. But here's a couple of cold glasses of reality that I'm going to dump over your head. Chip Kelly doesn't hold the same affinity for Oregon that you guys held for him. This was never a lifetime job for him. This was merely a stepping stone to eventually go to the NFL. I mean, think about it. In 2009, Chip Kelly takes over. They go to the Rose Bowl. In 2010, they go to the national championship game. Then in 2011, Oregon goes back and wins the Rose Bowl. Then it started happening, right? Oregon wins the Rose Bowl for the first time in 95 years. They beat Wisconsin. They've got a solid team coming back, and they are going to make a national championship run for the foreseeable future. Until what? The NFL started flirting with Chip Kelly. That's right. Chip Kelly was in a relationship with Oregon all of a sudden, the NFL started flirting with him, started sending some text messages, and Chip Kelly started flirting back. He had taken a job with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then had a midnight change of heart. Came back to coach Oregon that next season. Oregon went on to win another 11 games, go to the Fiesta Bowl, and win that one. Then more NFL teams were calling. The Cleveland Browns started calling. The Philadelphia Eagles started calling. And then for a glimmer of hope, Chip Kelly came out and said, nope, I'm not going to the NFL, only to change his mind again 5 days later and head to the league. Now, once he headed to the NFL, he had two good seasons, two bad seasons, gets fired by Philadelphia, has a horrendous, horrendous season in San Francisco. And then as Mark Helfrich was on his way out, had an opportunity to come back and coach Oregon. Had an opportunity to come back to Oregon, chose not to. Now, I understand the Oregon affection and the love that you have for the run that Chip Kelly had. It wasn't that long ago. It was, I mean, it was three coaches ago, but seriously, it wasn't that long ago. But here's the problem. When you go back and you look at the reality of the situation, Chip Kelly started flirting with the NFL after three seasons. The next season ended up packing his bags, leaving. Never once coming back to say thank you. Never once coming back to say the people of Oregon were great to me, but I have to go chase my dream. Never once. He packed up his backpack from his office, hopped on his nice private jet and flew to Philadelphia and never came back to Eugene. Until when? Until this last Saturday to get his doors blown off by Mario Cristobal and this Oregon Ducks team. So I realize that for a lot of Oregon fans, Chip Kelly is like your first love, your high school sweetheart. For another chunk of Oregon fans, Chip Kelly is maybe your favorite. But you know what? Once he broke up with you, and that's exactly how it happened, he never turned back. And then guess what? Chip Kelly showed back up, just like a girlfriend who goes off to college and shows back up for Thanksgiving, shows back up in November at Autzen Stadium. Doesn't look the same. I know you think he does, but UCLA has got a lot of work to do. The program that he built at Oregon is nowhere close to the program that he has yet to build at UCLA. And I'm not going to sit here and say anything foolish like Oregon is in a better position with Mario Cristobal than Chip Kelly. Look, if Chip Kelly would have never have left, Oregon would have been in a much better situation. If Chip Kelly would have been a lifer at Oregon, this program, I don't think, has the slip up in 2016 that it had under Mark Helfrich. And I think still remains a national contender, a national championship contender year in and year out. But that's not the reality. So maybe now that Chip Kelly came back, the Oregon fans gave him a nice ovation. Don Essig announced and welcomed him back. He gave a little wave, and that's about all he has acknowledged of Oregon fans since he left. So guess what? It's time for Oregon fans to get over Chip Kelly. You want to know why? Because the moment his private plane went wheels up on the way to Philadelphia back in, 2013? Chip Kelly didn't think of you guys at all. He was over it the day he went wheels up. All right, there we go. That's another chock full of fun edition of the No Huddle podcast. As I mentioned before, find us on iTunes, find us on Spotify, rate and review the podcast if you have something nice to say. As I've mentioned, look, we're into November. If you don't like the podcast and you're still listening, well, you've got more problems than I can deal with. But if you do like the podcast and want other people to know about it, rate and review it, tell your friends, word of mouth, and we will continue to churn out quality podcast for you as we stroll through this 2018 Oregon football season. All right, I'll be back next week. We'll talk about the game on the road to Utah and all sorts of other fun stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a terrific week. I'm Justin Myers. This is the No Huddle Podcast. As always, a production of the ThatCast Podcast Network.
Discover the growing lineup of ThatCast Network podcasts and videocasts at ThatCast.com.